Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers of Madanation, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this program, we talk about Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan, Sahabiyat. Alhamdulillah, today, a beautiful personality in the history of Islam who ever graced the face of this earth. We'll be talking about Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Be with us from startling, immense amount of knowledge about this great personality, inshallah. We'll be sharing with you, you'll be learning. Before we proceed towards our personality of the day who we're going to discuss, let's make a few good intentions. Because my Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhul Aliyah, has given us a beautiful mindset to make good intentions before performing any permissible task or any good deed. As we are presenting this program, we make this intention, we'll do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should be the foremost intention of every believer before performing any good deed. And you can make this intention, you will watch this program from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others. It's always a good idea to ask your family members, especially children, and everyone around you to come and sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen. Inshallah, you'll be learning about your pious predecessors, these great personalities, and there is so much to learn from their seerah. End of this program, inshallah, you would, inshallah, learn a lot. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, as I earlier said, that we will be discussing today about Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And today joins me Brother Mahad Attari. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Mahad Bey, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Welcome to this program, Lives of the Companions, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. And I hope you must be excited to talk about this great personality. What are your views on?
Alhamdulillah, I mean, it is our mother, and who isn't happy to talk about the mother?
Mother, mashallah, mashallah. So, in the start, I would like to request you, if you could please shed some light on the very brief introduction of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the name, the alqabat, the titles she possessed.
So, her name is Khadija.
Right.
Bint Khuwaylid. So, her father's name is Khuwaylid. And her family tree from the father's side, it meets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Sayyidina Qusay bin Kilab. And so from all amongst the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she has the privilege of her lineage meeting his lineage sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the least generations amongst all the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. Her mother's name is Fatima, and her lineage also meets the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Lu'ay bin Ghalib. Technonym, one of the attributions with the children, the title, is Ummul Qasim and Hind. And amongst her titles is Tahira, and which means pure.
Right.
And she was even known through this title, even in the pre-Islamic era of ignorance.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Another well-known title of hers is Al-Kubra, the great woman. And she was born 15 years before Amul Fil, which is the year of the elephant, where the incident of the elephant took place, and the Prophet ﷺ was born after it. So in that sense, she is 15 years born prior to the birth, the Milad of the Prophet ﷺ.
MashaAllah. There are certain beautiful titles of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And if we talk about a few of them, like as you mentioned, if we just little bit elaborate on those titles, right? Especially being pure, right? Tahira, Tayyiba and Tahira. And not only this beautiful title of her mother was later on, but even at the time of ignorance, she was known to be Tahira. Alhamdulillah, this is one of the beautiful, you see, alqabat, what she possesses. And any person who possesses any laqab or any title that actually expresses or depicts the person's attributes and qualities which are present within that person, isn't it? So that actually depicts what a person possesses, that attribute and that quality. So being pure, being tahira, subhanallah, this tells us the another excellence of Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that not only in the time of Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, or after coming in the nikah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, she was known as Tahira, but even before the the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu with Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, she was known to be Tahira. And further, there is another beautiful laqab which is known as Sayyidatu Quraysh. Right? She was even known as Sayyidatu Quraysh, meaning the leader of the Quraysh. At the time of ignorance, even in the time of ignorance, this was the title given to her. So this was, again, depicts his status, his maqam, his sharaf, even at that time, in the times of the ignorance. Now, further ulama have written, there is one laqab, Siddiqa,
Subhanallah,
that the truthful, Allahu Akbar. And it is mentioned that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has also said in one of the hadith that hadihi siddiqatu ummati.
Subhanallah.
He is siddiqa of my ummah. Mm-hmm. Subhanallah. Truthful of my ummah. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful title it is, subhanallah, itself. That, subhanallah, that our mother, she was truthful. And somebody who is pure, somebody who is truthful, and somebody who is leader, Allahu Akbar, in a sense that what a beautiful titles Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha possesses. And further, as you mentioned earlier, Al-Kubra, this was another beautiful title of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra. And now this was so much famous that that became the name of Sayyidatuna Khadija
radiyallahu ta'ala anha. In Arabic, the word Kubra is on the wazan of Fu'la.
Yeah.
And in so the for the female, you utilize this scale.
Right.
You say the greatest woman.
Subhanallah.
So Kubra means the greatest woman.
Greatest woman. Subhanallah. So respected viewers of Madani Channel, we are talking about one of the greatest women, subhanallah, who graced the face of the earth, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And the titles what we have discussed, that tells us, subhanallah, what is the maqam, what is the sharaf, what is the excellence, what is the status of this, subhanallah, woman, our mother, Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. If we just go further and talk about other features and dimensions of this beautiful seed of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and I think very, very famous account, if we just go back when she got impressed from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There is an account when actually the Quraysh, they used to do two travels which were very famous, and this is also mentioned in tafsir of li'ila fi Quraysh, ila fi himri hatashita wa saif. So this mentioned the special the Yemen and the other
Sham,
these two cities in winter and in summer, right? In these two seasons they used to travel, and this was one of the reasons of their sustenance, and that's how they used to earn their livelihood, and which is also mentioned in the tafsir of that surah. Now Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was a very, very wealthy woman of her time. And she used to do the business also. She used to do mudariba, as you would explain further, and business. And she was looking for somebody who could take the goods, right, to sell. Now, could you please elaborate that account, and how did she convince Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam? And what is that account, please?
Yeah, so she was a very wealthy woman. She would do business, and naturally, when you're doing the business, you would want someone who is trustworthy and honest to carry out your business.
True.
Of course, you wouldn't want a liar.
Yeah.
So she, of course, she wanted that. And at the same time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his akhlaq, his qualities, his morals, his
they were also famous. He was known as Sadiq al-Amin, Allahu Akbar, at that time.
And so she wanted someone to take her goods to Asham, and the people were traveling to Asham, and approximately at this time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around 25 years old.
Right.
So that was the age of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But so Abu Talib, he convinced the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take the goods of Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu
anha. So Abu Talib, he
persuaded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, I don't want you to go because I fear for your life, but because I'm very weak now and I have little wealth, so we have no other choice.
Right.
And so Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they agree on this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go on this journey with the wealth of Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu anha.
And there was one ghulam.
Yes, and she also sends one of her slaves called Maysara with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, telling him not to argue with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to stay with him.
Yeah.
And so
to assist. Any need. Yeah.
And he's been there before.
Right.
So he's been there before, and he's going to go on this journey with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then what happens is they go on this journey, and whilst on the journey, the Maysara, he sees that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting under a particular tree.
Subhanallah.
And there is a Christian monk, a rahib, who lives there, close by. And he comes to Maysara, he's seen Maysara before, and he says, "Ya Maysara, who is this man who is resting under the tree?"
Yeah.
And Maysara, he says, he's from the Haram, from the Quraysh. And so this monk, his name is Nastura. He says, "No one except a prophet has rested under this tree."
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So he knew the signs of the last prophet.
He knew the signs. And look at this question that he asks next. He says, "Does he have redness in his eyes?"
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Meaning, in such detail, they know about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Maysara, he says, "Yes." So Nastura says to him, "It is him, he is the last of the prophets. How I wish to reach the time when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaims his prophethood."
Allahu Akbar.
And so Maysara is seeing this like live in front of him happening. And he on this journey, he further sees that the clouds shade the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very honest.
Very unusual things he was noticing. Yeah.
Subhanallah. I mean, because he's been there regularly, so he must have been used to a way. Yeah. But this was a unique journey.
Subhanallah.
And so he realizes this. And what happens, he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very honest and truthful. And he sees that the Prophet attained from the trip was more than before. And so he develops this deep love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when they returned back from the journey, Maysara, of course, he informs Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And before even they come, Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra is watching the caravan arrived from Sham, and she sees that a cloud is shading the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah. From the balcony, she was looking.
From the balcony. And so this is an amazing scene when you're witnessing it.
Subhanallah.
And after seeing this, and after being informed about the incident,
that instilled love of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam in the heart of Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And then that led towards the nikah.
Yes.
And then she sends one of, I think, her friends for the consent of Rasulullah. And then this further proceeds, and then the nikah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam with Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha took place. Now, respective viewers of Madani Channel, the one thing what we noticed here is trustworthiness. One thing we notice here is being truthful. One of her own titles are Siddiqah. Right? She herself was truthful, and she was probably looking for somebody who is also truthful. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam's personality, Allahu Akbar, itself, the most truthful personality is the Zaat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We need to also adopt these beautiful qualities. When we talk about our pious predecessors, the main idea is to just learn something from their seerah and then to adopt. One more thing, what we can also understand, Madhbai, that when somebody is going to get married, at that time, what qualities one should look into, the spouse. This is very important. Nowadays, we go towards wealth, you see, money, and what business or what wealth a person possesses. But actually, what is more focused should be that should be iman, that should be the aqaid, that should be the character, you see, and how fulfilling that person is in terms of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hukuk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hukuk of ibad. This is also important.
Unfortunately, Rizwan bhai, you know, in this day and age, Because it's so materialistic,
yeah.
And it's so focused on the outer, whatever we see,
true.
And even just beauty. Just because it's the outer, that's why we would send a proposal to them. But the teachings from our deen is that how good they are in the deen, which should be the priority. And as you mentioned, that truthfulness, character, aqaid, and beliefs, are their beliefs even correct? And so these are the things which initially people compromise, but then later regret. So inshallah, we would need to look into this, inshallah, think about it.
We'll talk about further on the seal of this great personality, inshallah, but now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is message from a scholar. Let's find out what message is there for you, for me, for all of us. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
My question to the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah is, that what is the Shari'i definition of fish and Shari'i stance on it? My second question in your court is that from rest of the creatures of water, which ones are halal and which ones are haram? And my third question is that how is it to catch fish in the water that comes under the control of the official authorities?
A fish is that which is deemed as fish by people as a norm and also by the Sharia, meaning that it should be under normal routine of the people to deem it and declare it openly as a fish, and Sharia also accepts it as a fish. This would be deemed as a fish. Now, other than the fish, rest of the creatures, all of them of water are haram. The rulings we are mentioning are of the Hanafi school of thought. Keep this in mind. Nonetheless, a fish that faces natural death and comes at the surface of water upside down is unlawful, i.e. haram. Other than this, due to whatever reason the fish dies, it is halal. A dead fish is halal. That which died due to a cause. Causes behind the death. For example, a bird swallows a living fish and then it throws it out. If the fish is still fresh after coming out of its mouth, there is not any kind of change in the fish. There's no smell to it or it hasn't rotted, then in this case, the fish is halal. In the same way, a fish comes out of another fish. Big fish at times swallow small fish. If a dead fresh fish comes out of it, it is halal. And if there is any kind of change to it, like it has rotted or it smells, it would be quite obvious if such a change takes place in the fish. A person wouldn't want to eat it anyways. Such a fish is unlawful. And as for your third question, the places where there are warning signs by the official authorities saying that it is prohibited to catch fish here, one should act upon this very legislation. At times what happens is that water is very deep over there, and if someone sits for fishing there, he may fall in and die, or there can be any reason for it. So one should act upon this law, otherwise the authorities will catch you and you'll face problems. However, let's say someone does end up catching fish from restricted water area, then the fish that is caught is halal.
Please mention about prawns as well.
Prawns.
Yes.
In regards to prawns, there are difference of opinion among the scholars. Imam Ahmad Reza Khan has gathered arguments from both sides and declared the verdict for the prawn to be a fish. But because there's a difference of opinion in this, that's why it is better to avoid eating it. But if someone did eat prawn, he wouldn't become sinful as it is a fish. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
MashaAllah, we're talking about learning about the halal sea animal. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we are talking about Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. By the way, very, very beautiful hadith from Bukhari Sharif, right? It is in front of me, volume 2, page 565, hadith 3820. And I would like to share with viewers of Madani Channel, and this is something really, really mentions the excellence of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala and has narrated that once Sayyidina Jibreel Amin, right, the chief of the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, came to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and humbly requested, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Khadija is approaching, right? She radiallahu ta'ala anha has a pot of food. When she approaches you, then convey to her the salam of your Rabb and mine, and give her the good news of a home made of a case like hollow pearl in paradise, that is neither any noise nor any inconvenience.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Respective Yusuf Madani Sharif, chief of the angel is bringing salam of Rabb Ta'ala Azza wa Jal, right, and mentioning to the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. What a status of a mother she possesses. Allahu Akbar. Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Salam from Rabb Ta'ala Azza wa Jal coming through the chief of the angels, and this is being given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What an honor. Allahu Akbar. And then further, now, then she replies. And how does she respond to that salam, in reply to the salam? Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha stated, Inna Allaha huwa as-salamu wa ala Jibreel as-salamu wa alayka as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Subhanallah.
Allah Azza wa Jal is salam, and peace be upon Sayyidina Jibreel, right, alayhi salatu wasalam, who brought this salam, and the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, mercy and blessings be upon them.
Subhanallah. Right? Subhanallah.
There's a very beautiful point here. Would you like to just elaborate on that? That what faqahat, right, is possessed, what is the wisdom of the reply of Sayyidatuna Khadija? What would you say?
Her wisdom that she uses over here is that usually when someone says salam to you, if I say assalamu alaikum, you say wa alaikum assalam. Or if someone else sends a salam through you to me, I would say wa alayhi salam.
Yeah. And so alayka wa alayhi salam.
Alayka wa alayhi salam. And but Allah is sending the salam.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't say wa alayhi salam, that may peace be upon Allah.
Yeah.
No. What does she say? She says, Inna Allaha huwa salam.
Allah is salam.
Allah is salam.
Subhanallah.
And this is her deep knowledge of Islam, deep knowledge of her beliefs.
Faqahat, subhanallah.
You cannot, she wouldn't send salam upon Allah, but He is salam and He is the source of salam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Whereas she mentions salam and replies salam for Sayyidina Jibreel, Amin, alayhi salam, and Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. Now, if we look at this, that when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is talking about Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra, where this bisharat, the glad tidings of the maqan, the mahal, the palace which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant to Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra was given. It is mentioned in Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, right, and Sahih Muslim also, that Sayyidatuna Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam arrived and humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey Allah's salam and my salam to Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and give her the good news of a home which is made of pearls in paradise, right? Where there will be neither any inconvenience nor any noise, right? When the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam conveyed the salam of Allah to Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she humbly said, Allah Azza wa Jal himself is salam, peace, and peace is from him, and peace be also upon Jibreel Ameen alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the hadith where Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha is being given the glad tiding, bisharat of a palace, Allahu Akbar, where there will be no noise and any inconvenience, Allahu Akbar, and that will be made of pearls. So this is the maqam, izzat, sharf, and rutbah and excellence she possesses before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself sends salam to her. Not only that, the bishara of a palace in Jannah. Har sahabiyin nabi
jannati
jannati jannati. Har sahabiyat bi jannati jannati, no doubt. Ji, we further talk about the seerah. MashaAllah, we have learned about the excellences and the fada'il and manaqib of Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala and her through these ahadith. Anything further you would like to elaborate from her seerah?
Yes, she was. So she became the first wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu
and this is itself a great distinction,
subhanallah,
isn't it?
Subhanallah. And she even asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she humbly requested the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask Abu Talib to sacrifice some animals and feed it amongst the poor. This was then on the nikah, after the nikah.
Food, yeah.
Subhanallah.
Yeah.
And this teaches us simplicity, inclusiveness of the needy and the weak and the people who can't afford what we have. By the grace of Allah, like, we are fortunate, and those who are not fortunate, we should include them in our happy days. And this is from the teaching of Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. And this also removes greed, isn't it? Respected viewers of Madani Channel, now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is Words of Wisdom. Let's find out what are the words of wisdom in today's program. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Words of wisdom today we have got for you is Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala and has said, the intellect is often defeated after witnessing the splendor of greed. Now, if the greed can defeat someone's intellect, that's how bad it is. The negative type of greed we are talking about. So, respected viewers of Madani Channel, we should avoid greed, the negative greed. If you would like to have greed, have it in good deeds, right? Try to increase as many good deeds as possible, and you should have that tendency to do more and more and more good deeds, right? But not the negative one, because that can even destroy one's intellect. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If we further talk about Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala and has different aspects of the life, she has been a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, until or unless Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was alive, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam did not marry another woman, right? And this tells us that how much love Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam possessed for Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And what sort of kind of connection and engagement and the cohesion and love this relationship possessed, that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to remember her a lot, even after the passing away of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And inshallah we'll talk about that further in detail. But now at the time of before the announcement of the prophethood, the time Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam spent, if you could like to just shed light upon that, and then how Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala and her helped Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam to worship in seclusion also, when Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam used to go to Ghari Hira and he would do worship there, how she would assist. And then a little bit of the account when the first wahi was revealed, if you would like to just elaborate on that.
Inshallah. So Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala, in total she was she spent her life about 25 years with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so at the age when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 40, he proclaimed his prophethood. And so before that, right at the end period of those 15 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to Ghar of Hira, in the cave of Hira, where he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seclusion. And she radiallahu ta'ala anha would be very supportive of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what would she do? The Prophet ﷺ would spend quite many days there. So she would take the food to the Prophet ﷺ from Makkah al-Mukarramah up the mountain, which we learn about the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent salam upon her while she was bringing the food for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
On certain occasions, she would prepare food and she would pack that with Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah would take that food. And then sometimes Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam used to come back and then she would give more food and he would take and he would go for seclusion. On certain occasions, Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would take food. And she would go to Ghar Hira. There are many viewers of Madani Shelly who could have been to Haramain Sharifain, right? They could have gone to, especially to that cave of Hira, right? Now, especially those, they have climbed all the way down up to Hira. Now, they know that, how hard it is to just climb there and to reach there, right? Now, the age of Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, now you could imagine, right? At the age of 40, when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood, this is also very important. He was prophet even when Sayyidina Adam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam was between mud and clay, the water and mud. Right? He was Nabi then, but he announced his prophethood at the age of 40. And before a few years, if you talk about, then definitely the age of Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha would be
around 55 years
old. Yeah, would be more definitely, isn't it? Because Rasulullah alayhi sallam was 25 when he got married and she was 40 approximately. Mm-hmm. And now at that age, she used to go and climb up all the way down to Cave Hira to take food for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, can you imagine how selfless this personality was, how much you see caring and loving and supporting she has been throughout the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's life. And then this was the reason why Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu sallam loved her so much and would appreciate her so much, not only throughout her life, but even after the passing away of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he would often miss her. And inshallah we'll talk about how would he show his love for Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now it's time to include one segment in our program, inshallah's will. We'll continue after that. And the segment is, did you know? Let's include that and find out, did you know or not? Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, these few questions we include in our programs just to change a little bit of the topic, to increase our knowledge. And inshallah, we'll ask a few questions and we'll also answer them. And you will learn, inshallah, increase your knowledge. Ji, the very first question, Mahad Bhai, from you is that who invented the sewing of cloth?
Sayyiduna Idris alayhi salatu wassalam.
Very interesting piece of information, isn't it? MashaAllah. Ji.
Question for you.
Ji.
Who is the person who shares in the sin of every unjust killing on the earth?
Qabil, right? As he committed the first ever murder.
Allahu Akbar.
Right. Okay. Question for you. On what four occasions did Shaitan weep whilst screaming out loud?
The very first occasion was when he was cursed from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, when he was sent down to the earth. Number three, at the arrival of the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number four, when Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed.
SubhanAllah. So this, and number third was?
At the arrival of the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
SubhanAllah. At the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the shaitan screamed out loud. He wept, he cried. Now, this reminds me of a beautiful couplet. Nisar teri chahal pahal par hazaro ide rabiyul awwal. Nisar teri chahal pahal par hazaro ide rabiyul awwal. Siwaye iblis ke jahan mein sabhi to khushiyan mana rahe.
Subhanallah.
So this was the iblis who cried. So we should always, always rejoice and become happy upon the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Now,
final question for you.
Yes, please. Inshallah.
Which mountain was first created on earth?
Jabal Abu Qubais.
SubhanAllah.
This is the amount. Respect viewers of Madani Channel, hope you must have increased your knowledge regarding what we have now shared with you. Inshallah, we'll continue our topic. Today we're talking about Ummul Mu'mineen, our mother, mother of believers, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Siddiqa Tahira. Subhanallah. If we talk about the other subhanallah features and the dimensions of the seerah of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, anything you would like to share with viewers of Madinah?
Yeah, once again, I'd like to focus on this aspect that she was very supportive of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when a revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, the very first revelation,
يَقْرَأْ
بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, recite, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِئٍ, I am not a reciter. Once again, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said, اِقْرَأْ. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma ana biqari, I am not a reciter." And for the third time, when the Prophet ﷺ replied with the same response, in the Jibreel alayhi salam, he embraced the Prophet
tightly.
If you have that in front of you, inshallah.
Yeah.
And so after this event, the Prophet ﷺ, because this was a new event,
yeah.
And so the Prophet ﷺ, when he went back to his blessed and sanctified house, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha would reside, he said, cover me, cover me.
Yeah.
And so Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she covered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a blanket. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described what had happened to him and told her that, this was a strange event. Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she comforted him and she said, Allah azza wa jal will never forsake you.
Subhanallah.
You are good to your family and help people in need. You feed the poor and look after guests.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
These were the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was
the way to convert
him. Subhanallah,
subhanallah, subhanallah,
subhanallah.
And then she takes Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to Warqa bin Nawfal.
Yes, and he's one of the scholars at the time. Who was a monotheist, or someone who worships one god at the time. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there, Warqa bin Nawfal at the time was old and blind, yeah, in age, and with physical
he had knowledge
eyesight.
Of Injil also.
Yes, of the Torah and the Bible, and apparently he was blind.
Yeah. Very old age he was at that time.
And when they told him about what had happened, he said to them that this is the angel who came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam.
Mm.
I hope I am alive at the time when you proclaim your nubuwwah, your prophethood, and the people of Makkah, they drive you out so that I may help you.
Mm.
And so he knows that this would happen, and he's saying, I wish that I would be at the time when you proclaim Allah your prophethood.
Rasulullah alayhi wasallam also asked that, will my nation? And then he says, yes.
Yeah.
So respect you from Madani Channel, this is how the signs of nubuwwah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam were confirmed by Warqa bin Nawfal. And then Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she also came to know about an account which the Maysara had told her about Nastura, right?
Yes.
And the Rahib. And now she knows that what's happening, she's watching and seeing all unusual and unique events of the Zat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is a personality, subhanallah, is not like us, Allahu Akbar. No one is like Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this was the reason that when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood, the very first woman who accepted, embraced Islam was none other than Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, amongst women who embraced Islam first.
One of the beautiful excellences I was reading is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu.
Mm.
And so the very first person who became deserving of this, of being referred to from the Quran, was Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Amongst women, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Marhaba. So respect to viewers of Madani Channel, this is how Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she used to support Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, assist, help, love, care, and being at all times for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam present. And this is something we also learn from the seerah of our mother, that how should we behave, right? What should be our relationship when it comes to be a spouse, right? Especially our sisters, right? They should learn how they should behave with their husbands, right? And what sort of relationship should they possess? And this is, we can learn from the seerah of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Inshallah, we'll include further more on this beautiful personality. Now it's the time to include one segment, which is today's hadith. Let's find out what message is there and what hadith is there for us today. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Let's listen to a hadith about going towards good and doing good, helping other people do good and refraining from sins and helping others refrain from sin as well. Sayyidina Nu'man bin Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "The example of those who adhere to the limits of Allah Almighty and those who violate them is like those who drew lots in a ship. So some of them received a bottom place and some on its upper portion. Thus those at the bottom had to go to those who were at the top for water. This troubled those at the bottom, of course. So a person from below took an axe and began to make a hole in the lower part of the ship. Those from the top came to him and asked, 'What is the matter with you?' He replied, 'You were made to face difficulty on my account, and I cannot survive without water. Thus, if they take hold of his hand, they will save him and themselves. But if they leave him, they will destroy him and themselves.'" Now it is stated in Mirat al-Manajih under the explanation of this hadith, that this hadith uses a similarity to explain the importance of forbidding evil and commanding good. It has been mentioned that if the obligation of commanding good and forbidding evil is left with the understanding people that no one committing wrong is only harming himself and it does not affect us, then this is a wrong interpretation. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is because the effects of that sin impact the entire society. Just as the one who damages the ship does not drown alone, but takes everyone else with him. Similarly, the crime of a few individuals who do wrong become a menace that spreads across the whole society. The viewers of Madani Channel, instead of being only focused on our own rectification, we should have concern for rectifying others. This is because there are many sins whose harms afflict others too. For example, if a person were to commit an act of stealing, it would result in the loss for the one whose thing has been stolen. The same applies to being treacherous in the matter of trust, cursing, slandering, backbiting, tale-telling, exposing the faults of others, unjustly taking the wealth of others, shedding blood, causing harm to one another without any given reason. Alongside these worldly harms, dear viewers of Madani Channel, such a person will also face loss in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from these sins, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us on the right path. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Today we're talking about Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Mahabbay, if we talk about different dimensions of the seerah of Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, one of the beautiful attributes which stand out is the sahabat, right? The generosity of Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And she was wealthy, no doubt, wealthy woman of her time. But the way she openly, wholeheartedly spent on Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. She sacrificed all of her maal for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is what was acknowledged by none other than Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam himself. Now it is mentioned in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, right, once beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I have not found a better wife than Khadija.
Allah.
Right? When everyone rejected me, she believed in me. And when everyone denied me, she bore witness to me. And when no one was ready to give me anything, Khadija gave to me all her things. And Allah Azza wa Jal has granted me children from her.
Subhanallah.
So this is how Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam appreciated and acknowledged the fact, the way she supported with not only morally, right, but morally, physically, financially,
everything,
in every way or form of whatever was possible, best manner possible, she did for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that's how a spouse should be. That's how, subhanallah, we are learning from the seerah of Sayyidina Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now, we are talking about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved saying that Allah has granted me children from her.
Yes.
Will you mention about the children?
Yes, so he had many offspring, Sayyidina Qasim radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidatuna Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, from the daughters, she was the oldest, Sayyidatuna Ruqayya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidatuna Kulthum radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and last but not least, Sayyidatuna Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So these children were from Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha.
Now look at the generosity further. Now, once the foster mother of beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Halima Saadia radiyallahu ta'ala anha, approached Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in blessed Mecca. Now she submitted a complaint of drought and death of cattle. At that time, Prophet Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had married Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam discussed this matter with Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now she radiyallahu ta'ala anha then presented 40 goats.
Allahu
Akbar. 40, not one, not two, not five, 10, 15. 40 goats and a camel.
Allah.
Right? To Sayyidatuna Halima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now, today we talk about flashy cars, right? We talk about very expensive cars and models. Now, back in those days, these animals were a commodity and very, very, you see, valuable, right? Mm-hmm. And especially, you see, camels, they were very, very expensive that time. Now, giving that a camel and then 40 goats, this tells the generosity of Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And then this also tells us how much Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam loved his foster mother, Sayyidatuna Halima Saadiya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, when she came. And that's how Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam gave this as a hadiya to the mother. Now, this tells us how much love we should extend towards our mother, right? And how much respect and how much service should we give to our parents. This is also the seal of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, this tells that generosity, right? Now, what level of generosity Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha possessed? Now it says, Al-Jannatu darul asqiya.
Subhanallah.
Right? That Jannah is the home of those who are generous.
Generous. Subhanallah.
Right? Now, if you would like to enter paradise, right? So then, be generous.
Subhanallah.
Right? Wholeheartedly, when it comes to giving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't count. If you count, then this is not good, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not count when He gives us. Now we should also not count when we give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it is mentioned, generous person is close to Allah.
Subhanallah.
Right? Close to paradise.
Subhanallah.
Close to people.
Subhanallah.
And distant from hell.
Subhanallah.
Right? Okay. And a miser is distant from Allah, distant from paradise, distant from people, close to hell.
Allah.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla likes an ignorant, generous person more than a worshipper who is a miser. Respect yourself by the chain. So be generous. When it comes to giving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give wholeheartedly. Give as much as you can, inshallah. And again, this is something we are learning from the seerah of our mother, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha.
I'd like to mention a point here. You just mentioned with regard to that, that look at her behavior towards the foster mother of her husband, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we need to also learn that, you know, with our in-laws, how we should be behaving, especially our Islamic sisters as well, that, you know, do not fight with the mother of your husband and with the father of your husband.
And vice versa. Same should be the case.
Exactly.
Right? Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. This is what we are learning from this beautiful program. And any beautiful message you would like to give at the end from the crux of the information what we have shared, and any important message you would like to give from the seerah of our mother, Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, for the viewers of Madinah Channel who are watching.
Yeah, so she, subhanAllah, we learned that she loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wholeheartedly. She was honest. She was generous. And so the final message would always almost be the same, that we need to act upon all of this. And we need to really bring in these qualities, especially in this modern day and age, that we apply all of this stuff into our life, and then we would see the result. And she did this for the sake of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so whenever we do good with someone, we should also do it for the sake of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Beautiful message, respective of Madani Shaykh. Again, at the end, I would like to just mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his wife so much that even when after the passing away of Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he used to remember her so much, and he used to talk about her so much, even sometimes in front of Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he would excessively talk about her, Allahu Akbar. And whenever he would slaughter animal, right, and he would send the meat to the friends of Sayyidatuna Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. This was the love after the passing away of Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He would extend, he would express, and he would remember that send this meat to so and so women, right, because she is the friend of Khadija. And then he would say, send this meat to so and so woman because she loves Khadija.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. This was the love Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had. And he was very much grieved at the passing away of Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And that year was known as Amul Huzn, right? The year of grief. And one of the reasons was that was the year of the passing away of Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And respective viewers of Madani Shal, end of the day, what we learn is from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what a great, outstanding, remarkable relationship he had with his blessed wife, our mother of believers, Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and our sisters to learn from the seerah of Sayyidatuna Khadijat al-Kubra, our mother of believers, Siddiqa, Sayyidatul Quraysh, Tayyiba, Tahira, Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. May millions of salam be upon the shrine of our mother. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil Ameen. That's all for today. We'll be back next week with another beautiful personality. Keep watching Madani Channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.